I'm done. That's all the laugh y'all going to get today, probably. Amen. Acts chapter number 27. Life is full. You know, though, seriously, though, life is full of having to make second choices, and you know, because you don't always going to get what you want. I learned that a long time ago. I mean, look at my wife. She had to settle for me. Say amen right there. Hey, I seen that fella that wanted you so bad in the credit union parking lot Friday. I meant to tell you I seen your first Honey Boo Boo choice. You didn't do so bad with me after all. Amen. At least I don't look like Leonard Skinner. Amen. Hey, look here. Acts chapter 27. Let's look down in verse number 30. If you found your place, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
All right, I like that. That's good. And some of y'all lied because I'd still hear pages turn. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under the color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Now I'm going to stop reading there. I'll kind of bring all this out, and I'm going to give you a bunch of scripture today, but I'm not probably want you to turn there for the sake of time. But let's pray and ask God, thank Him for His Word, and ask Him to help us this morning. All right, dear God, we come to You. We love You today, and we thank You for being so good to us. And Lord, we know and understand that today is an important day. It's Your day. Let us not waste any moment of it, Lord, but give us ears to hear that we might receive the Word of God gladly. And what You do, we'll thank You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Paul said here, I want to bring a thought. This is my title for a message, Abiding in the Ship. Paul said, unless these, now let's break this verse down just a little bit. Unless these, in other words, those that were already there. Now you got to get that. Unless these, they wasn't going to get more people and put them on this ship. They was going to settle down with the ones that were already there. He said, unless these abide. Now that word abide is a kind of a simple word. I think we know what it means, but it means to stay in a given place. It means to continue in a given place. It means to dwell, endure, to be present, to remain, to stand, to tarry. I'm glad I got a place today, amen? But he said to stay. He said, unless these abide in the ship, in other words, unless they stay put right where they are and settle down and stand in the place that they are, they're not going to make it. Ephesians 6:13 says this, don't turn there, it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. I preached on that on Sunday night, or Wednesday night, I believe, on what are you standing for. But it says after you've done everything you can, then you still need to stand. And as I was, and it's been several months ago now, but I was working on this message. At that time on the news that day, there were three news stories that really bothered me as I listened to them. And I even brought out the other day, one of these things has already come to pass, but they were talking about in the school systems in California, making everything non-gender. And, you know, if a boy woke up one morning and decided he wanted to be a girl that day, he could go play on the girls' volleyball team. He could take girls' gym that day. In the same way with a girl, if she decided she wanted to be a boy that day. I tell you, that's a messed up bunch of stuff right there. But y'all do believe that, don't you? And then said that was on the news that day. And then the second thing was the Boy Scouts was considering their ban on homosexuals being involved in the Scouts, and they even thought about allowing each chapter to decide on an individual basis what they would do. And by the way, I think that's been resolved since I put this message together. The third thing is Montana had removed from the law books their law making homosexuality illegal. I tell you what, our world today is turning in such a way and is evolving, and I don't believe in evolution, but I do think people change. Amen. By the way, none of my crowd, my mama said none of our crowd wasn't monkeys hanging from a tree, but some of our folk probably did hang from a tree. Amen. We're living in a day and a time when everywhere you look, those who used to stand for something are moving more to the center. In other words, they have forsaken the old paths and they're compromising on their key convictions and they're saying, well, we're going to just have to lighten up a little bit if we're going to ever build a crowd, if we're ever going to build a big church, if we're ever going to be popular, if we're ever going to be asked to preach in different meetings or be accepted by great numbers of people, we're just going to have to back off some things. That's what the world's philosophy is. By the way, the world still thinks we ought to be to get along with everybody, and I just don't believe we're ever going to be to get along with everybody. It ain't going to ever happen. I mean, it just may be that this is going to be the good as it gets, amen? I'm going to tell you something. You talk about your convictions. If it was wrong last year, if it was wrong last week, it just wasn't some little phase you was going through. If it was wrong then, it's still wrong today. You see, you may be sitting here saying, well, boy, he's on a tear today. No, I'm just concerned about the state that God's people are in, and God's people no longer sticking to anything like we ought to, no longer sticking up for what we know is right. Amen. We stick up to it. We'll believe it pretty hard, and we'll preach it pretty strong, and we'll have some standards around our house until something happens in our family, and then we have to readjust. You see, we'll have real strong convictions about a sodomite and sodomy, and we'll have real strong convictions about all those things, about homosexuality, until one of our children turns out that way. Until one of our grandchildren turns out that way. Don't y'all dry up on me now. Until one of our nieces or nephews turns out that way, and then all of a sudden we want to be a little more understanding about it. You see, we used to have some great standards around here. I mean in the independent Baptist movement, we used to have real great standards about folks not shacking up, and I still believe shacking up is wrong. But it never ceases to amaze me, and I'm going back a long ways now. My best friend got a girl in trouble. Now, some of y'all, this new generation don't even know what that terminology means anymore. My best friend, as I grew up, got a girl in trouble. You know what they did? They did what they did, and that day they got married. And they started a home. And by the way, they're still together. Amen. But you see, what I see so many times now? Folk, when their children are young, they use words like this. My young'uns will never do that. I tell you what, if my young'uns done that, I'd put them out in the street. And that's the very same bunch today that's got their daughters and their boyfriends living together in the same house with them. Oh. It got a little bumpy right there, didn't it? You say, well, I don't like it when you preach this way. Well, I'm sorry. This is what God gave me to do for y'all this morning, to bring, to put on a plate and put on a table. So this is what we're going to get. Amen. Right? Standards are about an extinct thing. We live in a day of the coexist movement. Everybody wants to just get along. Why can't we just get along? That's what you see so much in the mainstream idea of church these days is, well, you know, we got to be accepting of everybody. I'm sorry, I don't have to be accepting of everybody. I believe God will save folks if they want to get saved, and we're not going to shut our doors in people's faces. We're not going to have no electric lock on the door, and if we don't like their looks, we don't let them in. We're not going to do that around here, but I'm telling you something today, folks. We have got to guard what we believe in, and just because everybody else is doing it, don't make it the right thing. How many of y'all has ever told as a young person, if your best friend jumps off the river bridge, are you going to jump off behind them? Same philosophy goes today. You say, well, you know, my neighbor down the street, they're dealing with this little thing, you know, and I don't really think it's right, but you know, I guess I'm going to just lighten up a little bit on my stand on it. Why should you? What are you going to do if it comes to your house? What are you going to do if you have to deal with it one day? You're sending your children a mixed message now. I send our children to school now, and even in elementary school, they're teaching them, they're letting them read books, and they're teaching them, they're indoctrinating them into different things. That used to be revisionist history was a big thing. Hey, that still is a big thing, but I'm going to tell you something else. Hey, this thing about, you know, they've given them books to read and they're trying to teach them how to be accepting of everybody, the accepting of all kind of lifestyles and everything else. You know what they're teaching them early on when they're right in kindergarten and pre-K? They're teaching them to coexist. They don't believe in this old-time religion. They don't want this old-time religion. They don't want nobody to have no old-time standards. Amen? How about 2 Corinthians 6:14 still in your Bible? It said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" In other words, if you're going to stand for God and stand with God, there's going to have to be some things that you're just going to have to stand against. Now, I've just decided a long time ago I'm going to stand on God's Word no matter what. I'm not backing up. I'm going to just stand my ground. Amen? I'm just too old to change. I'm just going to have to ride it out the way it is. You say, well, I'll tell you what, it's going to get hard for preachers like you. It may very well, but I tell you what, God's still on the throne. He didn't change any. I'm not going to change any. Amen? Now, some of y'all ain't getting this morning. Some of y'all enjoy this kind of preaching, and some of you don't. I can see that right now. Joshua 24:15. I'll turn over there with me. I won't make you look in your Bible. You don't want to hear this morning, but I tell you what, we need it. You know what I'm seeing everywhere I go? Good churches used to stand for something, stand on something, stand what's right, try to have some right kind of standards. The pastors are caving under pressure. They're either getting out of the ministry altogether. Churches are rising up and voting them out because they won't compromise. They won't compromise on the music stand. They won't compromise on the Bible. They won't compromise on this. They won't compromise on this. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. I heard about another preacher the other day. He done resigned a church. I think it's the third or fourth church he's resigned. And he's so wicked and evil and folk can't get along with him. He's just got a certain set of standards he's trying to go by. And the people not conforming to those standards, so he's throwing in the towel every time and quitting. Pretty soon, I reckon he's going to get tired of running away from things. Sometimes you just got to dig your heels in and say, look, we're going to stay here and we're going to do this. I'm your pastor. Now, sometimes the preacher do that and they'll rise up a crowd and vote him out anyways. But I tell you what, I've always been a little hard-headed. I figured if they want to get rid of me, they'd have to vote me out. I wasn't going to let them say boo and run me off. Because if I was going to let them say boo and run me off, I'd have run a long time ago. Joshua 24:15. Look here with me. Joshua just got done preaching here, and he's come to a concluding his message here. It says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were in the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now Joshua said, he said, back over there in Egypt, when our fathers were in bondage, when they were on the other side of the flood, back over there before Noah's day, in Noah's day, when Noah was preaching righteousness for 120 years, back all these things through time, there's always been a choice. There's always been these little idols. There's always been these little gods with a little g. There's always been an option. He said, now here we are in the land of the Amorites. And he said, they got their idols. He said, they got their false gods. And everybody's doing their own thing. He said, well, I'm going to tell you what. He said, you're going to have to decide. He said, but as for me and my house, we've already decided we're going to serve the God of Jehovah, amen, the Jehovah God. He said, we're going to serve the God with the big G, amen. We are going to serve the Lord. How about that? When's the last time you said that at your house? Might do you good every now and then, sir, just get up on your heels one day and just tell your youngins around the breakfast table, look, there's enough of this mess. We're just going to serve God around here. Amen. Some of you men, I'll tell you wives then. I heard a snicker on that one. Used to be a day when you'd say something like that and every man in the house would say, amen, preacher, that's right. Now most of the men are scared to. Am I right about it? You say, I'm enjoying things just like they are around my house right now, preacher. I don't want to stir the waters up. I don't want to cause no problems. I don't want to cause no conflict. Oh, I got to run a rabbit right here. You know what your wife, mister, you know what your wife wants more than anything else? She wants a man not that's going to rule over her and beat her down and keep her pushed up in the corner all the time. It ain't a Rambo she wants. She wants to see a man that says, honey, I love you so much and I love our family so much. I want to take this stand on this and I think this is what we ought to do. I believe this is what God wants for our home. Will you please, please, please help me out with our children on this thing because I think it will help our family. No woman I have ever met in my life in counseling situations, in premarital counseling, whatever the case was, I have never yet seen a woman that liked a man that said, I don't care. Whatever you want to do, it's all right with me. I don't care one way or the other. Whatever you want to do, honey. You see, that's the biggest lie I hatched out of hell. He does care, but he's scared to say that he cares. That's good preaching. If I'm going to have to preach and amen myself and shout myself too, we're going to take up a love offering before we leave here, amen. Hey, I'm telling you, folk, we need to get a hold of this thing today now. We need to have some standards in our homes. Paul said, unless these abide in the ship. Paul was in a ship with a bunch of folk. There were some guards there. There were some prisoners there. He was on his way to Rome. God had ordained and intended for him to go there. There was no man or storm or anything else that was going to stop him. The devil had tried so many times already to stop him, but Paul said, I must preach in Rome also. Paul said, I have a message from God that's got to go to Caesar's household. This ship's about to run up on some rocks. They're afraid they're going to sink. They've been in the storm for many days. I didn't have time to read all of that. They're about to drop a lifeboat down. And Paul says, if you stay in the ship, you'll survive. But that's the only way. You see, Paul's been talking to God, and he knows what the deal is. By the way, sir, I'm not cutting the women out of this. Some of you women ought to be shouting this morning. Now, sir, you ought to have enough of God on you to where when you talk to your wife about, do you even talk to your wife about spiritual things? If you could talk to your wife about spiritual things, she respects you enough to listen to what you got to say. I know most times what it is you got a testimony like Lot, and when you want to talk about God, she thinks you're making a joke. See, Paul's been talking to God. He knows what the deal is. And they do the most unnatural thing in the world. They actually cut the ropes holding the lifeboat to the ship and let it float away. Now, it ain't always a smart thing to get in a lifeboat. I've seen a lot of folks who've tried to get out of some good boats. Some did, but I think they've been better off to cut that lifeboat loose and let her go. The very thing that they thought would save their family is actually what sunk their family. Some got into a lifeboat of education. Boy, I tell you what, I think education is a wonderful thing. I'm trying to get all I can get. I need it. I'm not very smart. Don't say amen right there. Some of y'all want to say amen right there. You ain't said amen all day. I'm not very smart. I know I'm not very smart. But I tell you what, when God lays it on my heart, God laid it on my heart years ago to start going to Bible college and try to get some education and try to prepare better for the ministry. And I've been able to learn some things that has helped me, and I've been able to learn some things that has got some things settled in my life that maybe I was a little bit up and down about, and maybe just wasn't really settled. Hey, no professor changed my mind. The Word of God changed my mind. Now, listen here, but you can get on a lifeboat of education sometimes and say, well, if I just get more education, I'm going to be okay. If I can just get more education, I'll get a better job. I heard y'all's president the other day said, what we need in America is more children going to college. I don't know why. There ain't no jobs for them when they get out. They keep talking about how we got so many illegal immigrants in America today because nobody will work the farm jobs. When I was growing up, you either had a job or you worked on the farm. That was it. You didn't have no choice. I mean, and I, you know what? I worked with my daddy. My daddy run a filling station, run a garage. I worked with him. That's how I learned what I knew about working on cars. That's how I learned a lot about, that's where I first learned how to deal with the public. That's how I first learned how to deal with people. That's how I first learned how to be a salesman. That's how I learned how to convey what I wanted and convey what people needed in their life. Even if it was working on a car, I knew what to tell them what they needed. Amen. But I went to work when I was about 10 years old. You say, that's child abuse. Yeah, maybe that's what's wrong with me. I don't know. Hey, but I did it. That's what I did. That's all I knew. I was either working on a farm or I was working for my daddy. Hey, this thing about they can't find nobody to work on the farms. I know there's a whole bunch of folks who work on the farms. They just don't want to work on the farm. They're allergic to the hot weather. They're allergic to sweating a little bit. They're allergic to a little bit of manual labor. Yeah, man. If they can't do it with this, if they can't see it on Facebook, if they can't play a video game and make it happen, they don't believe in it. They don't want to do it. You say, well, I have an education. I don't have to do that. Big whoop. If you get hungry enough, you'll do it. Some got on a lifeboat of education. Some folk got on a lifeboat of recreation. I'm talking about abandoning the house of God now. They got on a lifeboat of recreation. Oh, I've seen it happen so many times, it makes me so mad. You say, oh, y'all ought to be mad. The Bible says be angry and sin not. That means there's some things that ought to make you mad. When I see families bring their young'uns up in church, and then when they get to be in their teenage years, they say, well, now look, now this is what we're going to do now. We're going to let you decide. We're going to let you decide now. We can either go to the lake this weekend, and we'll have a good time, and you can go skiing, and we'll pull you on the tube, and we'll fish, and we'll have a big time. Or if you want to go to church, we'll stay home. I have listened to people talk to their children this way. I mean, what do you think they're going to say? I mean, I got a weenie dog at the house. All I got to do is say, hey, you want a cookie? He don't go get in his bed and lays down. He goes to the cookie jar. Because he wants one. You know what? If my mom and daddy said to me when I was a young boy coming up, they said, well, now, they never did do this. I'm thankful they didn't because I'd have made the wrong decision. But they said, look, you got an overnight camp out at church tonight with your Sunday school class or we can go to the races. Which one you want to do? You know what I want to do? I want to go to the race. I'm not mature enough to make the right kind of decision. Somebody's got to make that right decision for me, right? But I've seen a lot of families jump in the lifeboat of recreation and say, well, I got to spend more time with my family. You know what I learned a long time ago? I believe in the tithe. I believe in faith promise. But God wants you to give Him more than just your money. He wants you to give Him. And I learned this. If you'll tithe your time to God, I learned this too about money. If you'll tithe your money to God, God will give you enough money to meet your bills. If you won't give God His tithe, you ain't going to ever make your bills. You're going to be behind from now on forever and ever and ever. Amen. But I'll tell you what, if you tithe your time, if you give God your time, guess what? All that stuff that you said, I wanted to do that, but I didn't think I'd have time, you got time. We went to New York the other week. We were thinking in the back of our mind, if we can, if we're able, if we have time, we're not going to be that far from Niagara, we'd like to go see it. But Lord, if we don't have time, if we can't do it, we ain't going to fret about it. We're going up here to do what you want us to do. That's the priority. That's what we're going to do. You know what? We had time. Because we tell God, we're going to give you your time. This is your time. We're coming up here to do something for you. This is not a vacation. This is something, a refreshing time. We want to be among God's people. But if you see fit, God, to work it out so we have time, we'd appreciate that too. Guess what He did? Amen. Come on now. Don't help me out. See, I'll be glad when this is over. It's 12 o'clock now. I can stop right now if y'all want me to. Man, I'm going to come back tonight at 6 o'clock anyway. Curtis Hudson said my message is like a stick of bologna. You can cut it off anywhere. It'll still be good on both sides. Amen. Hey, there's a lifeboat of recreation, but a lot of people jumped in the lifeboat of socializing. They put their friends above everything else. They put their friends above their family. They put their friends above the house of God. They said, we want to jump in this lifeboat of socializing because it looks like this other boat here, this old ship of Zion, it looks like this thing about living for God is going down. So we're going to make a choice here, and we're going to jump in the lifeboat of socializing. We're going to go with our friends. Some jumped in the lifeboat of diversion. They want to just try to do something different. You know, that's that crowd that says, well, we'll go to your church this Sunday, and then we'll go to my church next Sunday, and then we'll go somewhere else next Sunday. And that's that crowd that think, that they feel right at home when watch the Pope on TV, and they think that's all right, and they watch this other crowd on TV. Amen. Did y'all hear about that crowd down at Ken Copeland's outfit all coming down with the measles? It's 200 and some cases down there, I think. Because he told them they didn't need to vaccinate their youngins. God had healed them. God inserted something in my brain called common sense. Amen. Now, I don't know if some of y'all got it or not, but I got one. I got a good one, too, and it works real good. Amen. Alan, that's like you was talking about that light. That's why when I turned it on last Sunday morning, I turned it off. Common sense said, that ain't right. That ain't right. Some people jumped in the lifeboat of sophistication. They got so sophisticated, they won't come to church with y'all no more. I've seen too many families go down for the last time, and I'm tired of getting those calls. Help! I'm tired of getting those 911 religion calls that they only want the house of God when the very worst scenarios taking place, or they only want to talk to the preacher when they've done tried everything else and nothing else fails. And I had a guy call me the other day, and he said, do you think there's any hope for me? And I said, I have no idea. You see, I've seen too many men that thought that grass was greener on the other side. Too many wives and moms are driven to despair. Too many children left to raise themselves. You wonder why we're in the shape we're in this great country called America. A lot of folks was on a good ship, and they got off of that ship because they listened to the counsel of men instead of the counsel of God. So today I'm going to give you a little list of some boats I think y'all stay in. I got five right here real quick. I'm going to go through them real quick, so y'all hang with me. You listen quick. I'll talk quick. Hey, there's another page stuck back here. Hallelujah. Still five of them. Some old ships you ought to just stick with. Number one, you ought to stay on this old-timey gospel ship. I tell you what, I wouldn't give a nickel for some of these churches today that's so sophisticated and so highfalutin. I like this old-timey way. I like old-time praying. Amen. Old-time praising, old-time preaching. Hey, I got no time for all this new mess. I don't have no use for it. It's no power in it. God took His hand. I don't believe God's hand was ever on most of it. But sometimes things got so big, God said, they done got so big, I think I'll just let them try it for themselves for a little while and see how it works out. You see, I'm pretty sure today that I'd still be in the same old boat I was raised up in if I hadn't been exposed to some good old-fashioned, old-timey preaching. Laura don't like it when I tell this story, but it happened to us, so I thought it was pretty funny. And it makes me illustration. We had a family here in church one time. Once they want to do something real nice for us. They was going to take us to this real authentic Mexican place one time to eat. I mean, this place was a floof, man. I mean, it was nice. They had everything. And when we walked out, the man, the daddy of the family that took us, he asked Laura, said, Laura, so how'd you like that? She said, it was all right, I guess. He said, just all right? She said, yeah, it's all right. But I like the real stuff myself. He said, where do you get the real stuff at, honey? She said, Taco Bell. But see, hey, that's all she'd ever had. She don't feel that way no more. She got exposed to the real thing. You know what happened to me? If I had stayed in that dead, I'm going to go ahead and say it, it's my testimony, that old dead Methodist church I was raised up in where I never heard the gospel presented, not even halfway, never got a clear presentation of what hell was or what heaven was and how to miss one and go to the other one. If I hadn't went to that meeting that time and heard an old-timey preacher get up without apology and tell me if I wasn't saved, if I had never accepted Christ, I was going to hell. You know what? I'd probably still be sitting on that pew. I'd probably be a big leader in the church right now. I probably would be. I'd probably be a big wheel, Diane. I mean, I'd probably be a cheese. I wouldn't just be the cheese whiz. I'd be a cheese. I mean, I'd be a big man. People to look up to me. But you know what? I'd still be on my way to hell without God. But I got in this old-timey gospel ship, amen. I'm glad I'm in it, amen. Second thing is, second boat, I don't say too much about it around here, but we don't need to say much about it, but I believe we ought to stay with this good old King James Bible ship, amen. I read somewhere around there's about 900 different versions of the Bible. I'm glad I got the Word of God. Some of this crowd says, well, mine's got the Word of God in it. Well, yours might have some in it, but mine's all God's Word. Amen? See, most larger bookstores and distributors actually have to print an entire catalog just for the Bible. You see, ain't nothing in the world wrong with the one I got. I think I'm just going to keep the one I got. Amen? I'm going to stay with this good old King James Bible. Number three, I'm going to stay in the old fellowship ship. See, I'm happy with the crowd I'm hanging with. I'm glad that I don't have to send out a questionnaire about where my friends stand from one year to the next. They're all still standing in the same place. I went up back to Bethel, probably been the first time we got to go in, I don't know, 5-6 years maybe. And I seen some of the same men there that I worshiped with 30 years ago. Still standing in the same place. Still standing on the same Word of God. Amen. Hey, they announced up there Friday night who's going to be the main preacher next year on the first week. Brother Daniel Buchanan. Used to be a professional football player. He's about that wide, and that ain't no joke. Has no neck. Looks just like that. No neck. You say, where you know him from? About a week before I surrendered the call to preach. We found out we had a little group of crazy people there at Tabernacle. We found out about a camp meeting, a revival somewhere, man, we'd go. If it was driving distance, we'd go. If we had the gas money, we'd go. We'd throw our youngins in there, and they'd lay in the back of the station wagon and do homework going up the road, and the wives would make sandwiches, and we'd drink iced tea out of thermos bottles and all. Just a bunch of crazy people just trying to do something for God, just having a big time. We found out about a revival in Arcadia, North Carolina, which is on the other side of Winston, at the Believers Baptist Church. It was supposed to be a three-day meeting. It had blown out and gone into 3 weeks. We found out about it on the last week. We got to go on the last day of the last week, and Dr. Daniel Buchanan preached. So what did he preach? Can't remember for the life of me. But you know what happened that night? God changed my life forever. I made the decision right then. God, whatever you want to do in my life, I'll let you do it. I want to go back. You know what? I won't have to worry about what kind of Bible he's going to be using. I won't have to worry about what kind of singing is going to be going on. Amen. I'm happy with the crowd I'm hanging with. I'm happy with the brethren I got in my ship. I'm glad we can all love one another. Amen. You say, well, sometimes, you know, old so-and-so, they do things that get on my nerves. Well, don't worry about it. You do stuff that gets on their nerves too. The fourth thing is, the fourth ship is, I'm going to stay on the trying to live right ship. Amen. I said trying to live right. You say, well, you know, hey, you think you've arrived. No, I know I ain't arrived. Amen. And I look at you and tell you ain't either. I think God intends for his youngins to try to behave. What's the last thing you tell your youngins when you drop them off somewheres? You better behave yourself. I used to tell mine, you better behave yourself, and I better not get no bad report. Because if you don't behave, and I get a bad report, when we get back home, I'm going to execute judgment. You see, where there's no punishment, There's no worry about anything. If you went home today after church and you put the news on and they put a news flash up and said every highway patrolman in North Carolina had gone out on strike for higher wages and there was no highway patrolmen on the road at all, you'd remember that when you left to come back to church tonight. Say, I'm just going to see what this old booger will do going down the road. By way! You know why? Because there's no threat of punishment. You know why I try to live right? But one day I'm going to have to stand and give an account for this life that I'm living for God, to God, not to you, not to somebody else, not to people that don't like me to begin with, but my Heavenly Father. I'm going to stand one day before Him because He left me here when I got saved. He said, the Holy Ghost said, now behave. You know how to, you ever told young this? Now you know how to act. You see, if you're saved, you know how to act. By the way, if you don't know how to act, something comes up you ain't sure about, all you got to do is go ask the Father about it and He'll let you know. You see, God knows that we will not be without incident, but He wants us to try. Amen. We got to where now with our grandchildren, they always, the parents, were they good today? I mean, unless it's something major, I mean, unless they pulled a gun on somebody or cut somebody with a razor blade, we don't even say nothing about it no more. Because they're trying to do right. I believe they're trying to do right for the most part. Sometimes. Not always. Sometimes they just take a nap and wake up and all their brains run out their ears and they don't make no sense at all what they do. And, you know, you got to handle them in a different way then, but you can tell when they're really trying to do right. Amen. You know, God can tell when you're really trying to do right. He knows you're going to do something goofy every now and then, but He knows when you've been trying to do right. And the fifth thing is, last thing is, most importantly, listen to me real close now. I'm talking about ships. You ought to stay in these ships. You ought to stay in a good old gospel ship. Amen. You ought to stay in a good King James ship. Stay in a fellowship ship and try to live right ship. But the fifth thing is, most importantly, make sure you're on the salvation ship. Make sure you're on the salvation. Notice I didn't say to stay in the salvation. Make sure you own the salvation ship. If you got in, you in. If you in, you in. I mean, if you're saved, you're saved. You say, well, you know, sometimes I feel saved and sometimes I don't feel saved. Well, you need to make sure you're in. See, I see a lot of folks, they got in, they think they got in, but they're not really in. Some people think they got in by the heritage of their mom and daddy. Some of them think it got in by grandma. I've had people tell me they got in, they don't say any of these words, but they talk like they got in by their pedigree. As good as my family is, I'm sure I'll be all right. Some people think they get in by osmosis. They mean they sit on a church pew, that automatically makes them a Christian. I believe it's Dr. Sightley used to say, if you go to sleep in your garage tonight, you won't be a car when you wake up in the morning. You can sit on a church pew all you want to, but it's not going to make you a Christian. A lot of people think they get in by occasionally. They occasionally come, so they occasionally think they're saved. And some people just tearing the ship. You know, sometimes they... Of course, they changed everything now. I think I understand around the airport because used to, when we was little, Daddy used to take us to that RDU and we'd walk up on top of the building and watch planes come and go. You can't even get parts of the airport you can't even get into no more. If you ain't going to fly out of there, you ain't going through there. And when Rusty took us, of course, my youngins, they just throwed me out on the curb in Raleigh, Durham. But when Rusty, go, I hope you come back. Don't throw up too much. But when we got ready to leave, Montana at 3:00 in the morning. I'd already worked it out. I thought worked it out with the rental car people where I was going to leave the car in a certain place and everything. And Rusty said, well, I'm going with you. I said, man, you ain't got to get up. That means we got to leave your house at 2:30 just to get there in time for me to get on my plane, to get through security and get on my plane. He said, I don't care. He said, I'm seeing you off. But he could get in the front door.
And he could get about as far as from here to them doors back there. But that was as far as he could go. You know why? Because he had no boarding pass. And you know what? I went my way, and he went, turned around and walked right back out the door and waited for his friend to come pick him up. So what are we trying to get at, preacher? There's a lot of people that think when the Lord comes back, they're going to go out. But they're going to be just like Rusty was in the airport. They're only going to be able to go so far. That Rusty could have tried to got through there to where I was, and you know what? Security would have grabbed him. All kind of alarms would have went off because he didn't have no right to go from over here to over there. You know what? If you're not saved today and you've never accepted Christ, you'll never make it. You'll never make it. You'll be just like one of those people on a great big luxury liner. I don't even know if they let them do that anymore where you used to. People could go on board with you and see you off, and then they'd have to non-passengers must depart the ship at this time. Now, I don't want to be one of them. I'm going to stay on that ship, amen. I've got salvation. I'm just as saved today as I was when I got saved. I know a little bit more about it now. Thank God I know a little bit more about it than I did then. See, this old ship, this old gospel ship, one day is going to settle into port. Amen. You know what we're going to hear? All ashore that's coming ashore. We'll place our feet on heaven's shore, there to roam no more. It's hard for me to think about it, preaching about ships and ports. And they said it one time, and I don't remember all the details. I've read the story several times. I've heard it used as an illustration several times. There was a missionary somewhere, we'll just say China, and he'd given his life for the gospel. And he'd buried his children there in China. He'd buried his wife in China. And he was coming back. And he was coming back to the States now, his body broken, his spirit broken. And he was coming back. He's coming back to America, basically, to die. He got to thinking on the way back on that long cruise back about how he lost so much. And he wondered if there'd be anybody there to greet him. Now, little did he know that the same time and at the same place, a great dignitary was coming in to the same port. And they said as the ship approached the dock, a big brass band kicked up and all these throngs of people. And he said, wow, he said, it wasn't for nothing. It wasn't for nothing. And then as time progressed on, he noticed that as a crowd of people came off another ship, the band and the crowd was there for that man. And as his ship slowly crept up to the dock, everybody left. There was one person left there to meet him. God spoke to his heart and said, they may get their welcome here, but you'll get your welcome there.